Well, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our sermon text for this Sunday of Confirmation, we're going to go from the Gospel of John. We'll go from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, a very familiar part of Scripture. And we're going to read verses 15 through 19, and we read this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said unto him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved, because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to them, "Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, that when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after this saying, he said to him, "Follow me." Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of the Spirit that you would speak and men and flesh would be silent. And we thank you for this word. We thank you even for the testimony that we've heard this morning. And we thank you for the unity of your body. Father, we ask that you just continue to be with us each and every moment that we walk upon this earth. Glorify yourself. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. We know that often we are put in positions where sometimes we're not quite comfortable doing everything. But yet, there are times where we have to do it. And it's an interesting thing, because it's not even as these young men would not be able to give a testimony of their faith if we were to stop and talk with them. But to stand up in front of a bunch of people and to go through the process of trying to spell out everything, it can be quite difficult. I remember even when I was going for my ordination in the central board, actually, all but one came to the little church of Alston. Now, it was so impressive that they all were able to come there. And they told me that I had to recite the creed, and they even advised me, our central board advised me, that I should at least have it in print form in front of me. Because when you get nervous, and you've seen me do it up here, you've seen me get nervous, I give a blessing when you leave the communion rail, and just once in a while, you just goof it up, you know? You just mess it up, and you just can't bring that train back. I didn't bring it. Not bragging, I don't read so hot. I have a hard time focusing on what I'm reading, and I need to go from the heart. But they're right. I remember serving under Earl Carla. He always had an altar book with him everywhere he went, because he even said in the mission field sometimes he would get kind of flustered and forget what he was saying. And so when we see our young adults come forward and they're holding a little book, don't fool yourself. They know. They know. They know what they believe, because faith is given by God. Peter at times, he kind of spoke a little too quickly. At times, Peter kind of got himself in trouble. You know, we know that Peter was the one, and we can look at this text here, and we can say, Peter was the one that said he would never deny Christ Jesus. And we know that Jesus even said, "You will deny me thrice before the cock crows." Three times. But it did not exclude Peter. See, we can turn around and we can make statements. We can say a lot of foolish things. And trust me, I know I'm good at that. But the fact of it is, it doesn't mean that God is done with us. These young men came forward and they spoke their heart. They spoke what we desired for them to say. But they're going to go out in life and they're going to goof up. I'm not trying to be negative. If you can stand there and stand up in your pew right now and tell me you've never made a mistake from the time you made confirmation, well, then I'll stand here and listen. I heard crickets in the sanctuary of the dining hall this morning. Maybe they'll talk to me. We all know that we're fragile. We all know that we're human. And sometimes we will say things and do things that sometimes we'll come back and say, oh, I wish I didn't do that. But God is graceful. God is graceful, and he has a purpose for each and every one of us. And I truly believe that God has a purpose for all those young men. And we can go in the narthex in there, or not the narthex, dining hall. I don't know why I keep getting narthex. But dining hall in there, and we can go to that rack, and you wouldn't believe how many people do this. They go to that rack right away, and they start flipping through the pictures, and they look all the way back to 1946, and they find where they were. God has a purpose for every one of them. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And that we are, really, if we could say, cogs in the whole wheel of Christianity. That God will utilize us in places and in times to be able to actually move forward the foundation and the strength of Jesus Christ, that we would preach his word, that we would teach his word, that we would encourage the world around us. And it may not always look like, you know, the way Luther did it. I don't know if you noticed when you walked in the door, there's two amazing photos that I hung up. And one is of Bonhoeffer, and one is of Luther. And if you don't know who they are, you should look them up. They're pretty interesting people. But God had a purpose for them. Very powerful purpose. And he has a purpose for each and every one of us. That maybe we could sit here and look at our congregation and say, well, why would we have pictures of two individuals? But I think in heaven, there is a picture gallery that is so amazing because it says that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because he has purpose for each and every one of us. Peter, he's a great example of this when you kind of just blow it. He's feeling kind of down and out because he said he would never deny him. He wouldn't do any of that stuff. In fact, he said, I will die for you. And then after Jesus is crucified, I'm sure he's feeling kind of bummed out. He doesn't really know what to do. And then in the beginning of this chapter, if we took the time to read the whole chapter, Peter makes the statement that most Finlanders love to hear. I'm going fishing. Because he thought it was over. He didn't know what else to do. So I might as well go back to what I know. And I've shared that with you, even as a pastor. You know, I get very sensitive at times. And I say to my wife, and maybe it's wrong for me to tell you this, but there's times where I've just said, well, I'm going back to build houses. At least I know what I'm doing there. We have that tendency as human beings when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel that we've just messed up, when we feel like that we just can't do it anymore. I'm going to go back to what I know. But God has a different purpose. God has a different purpose for each and every one of us. But explicitly here, we see it with Peter. Peter, I'm not done with you. So Peter takes off and he goes fishing with his boys, right? They bought a new boat. I don't know, they had an old boat. And they all hop in and they're fishing and they catch nothing. Nothing. All night long. Well, how's that working out for you? It's like Aho saying, I'm going to go build houses again and the first house I build falls down. Or the lumber prices go through the roof and I can't complete the project. But the fact of it is nothing. Jesus, he comes there and he's standing on the shore and he's like, hey boys, what's going on? You catch anything? No. Throw your net on the other side of the boat. That's like Heikki and Toivo when they found a good fishing spot, right? They put an X in the bottom of the boat so they wouldn't lose it. Can you imagine thinking, they're like, throw the net on the other side of the boat? What is 6 feet going to do? What is 8 feet going to do? But they did it. They were obedient to the word of God, and they took and they did it, and they couldn't even carry in the load of fish. And we love to spiritualize this. I'm done with that stuff. It was a big load of fish. Because God's provision is beyond our understanding. So they're like, wow, that's got to be the Lord. Because only he could do something so miraculous as this. So Peter, he takes and he jumps in the water and he's chasing after Jesus because I'm sure he feels overwhelmed that I've blown it. But he knew who had the balm. He knew who would love him in spite of anything else. Because see, when I blow it with John or Fred or Ernie or Samantha, I avoid them. I don't know if you've ever done that before. You know me, I pick on my wife, right? I make a fool of myself with my wife, and then I come home, and I kind of just skirt her, and I go into another room because I don't want to deal with that. Peter, he knows what to do. He runs to Jesus. So they're out there fishing, thinking they're going to make their own way, right? They're going to go back to what they know. They can't catch a thing. Then Jesus is like, do what I tell you to do. They do what he tells them to do, and they're pulling in so many fish, they don't know what to do with them. But the beautiful part about this is if we read the text, they don't even need them. Because when they get to the shore, there's fish cooking. Breakfast is already ready. See, God allowed that to happen for those guys. But it wasn't that he needed the fish. Because breakfast was already on the coals. The 153 fish is just a bonus. It's a bonus probably for the family that now is going to be fishing on their own as the disciples now go out and minister, the apostles go out and minister. So, we got to get going here because, you know, we've got communion and everything. So when they finish breakfast, the dinner that was already prepared, right? Jesus turns his attention to Simon Peter. Peter's hurting. And he knows this. See, God knows when we struggle. He's hurting. So he asks Simon, he says, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? This is always a big debate for a lot of people, right? You know, what's more than these? Is he talking about the other disciples and stuff like that? This is my personal opinion. I don't think it is. This is my personal opinion. Jesse, do you love me more than your old worldly ways and your old worldly living? Peter, do you love me more than these fish? Because this is what you turned to. When you thought there's nothing else to do, you turned to this. I could be dead wrong, and you can throw that right out the window. This is what God has opened to me. It can sure be inclusive of the other people there. But do you love me more than this daily bread? Do you love me more than this sustenance? These temporary fillings? Because it's all temporary. Do you love me more than these? He turns and he answers to him and he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What a statement. You know, I'm not saying they left on bad terms. Jesus knew exactly how everything was going to turn out at his crucifixion. But the fact of it is, Peter was still confident, in spite of himself, that Christ loved him. Christ loved him. So he turns and he says, you know that I love you. And he says, tend to my sheep. Tend to my sheep. See, I think this is kind of a very interesting way of saying it. Take care of them. Take care of my sheep. As a shepherd, Peter, I want you to actually be involved with the flock. Stop worrying about everything else. Stop worrying about how you're going to make a daily living. Stop worrying about all the grief that's going on. And actually spend time invested with my sheep. Spend time with them. Tend to them. See, because I think it's interesting if we just turn around and said the first time right away, well, then feed my sheep, then he'd say, well, that's what I was doing. No, I want you to be vested into them. See, this is where we all stand now. This is not just Peter. We ask of these young adults to come forward and to make a great confirmation. We ask them to come forward and partake in their first communion where they are joined together. But do we also understand that we are now brothers and sisters in Christ and that we are to tend to one another, to take care of one another? You have a position. So he says, tend to my lambs, or feed my lambs. Oh, I got the wrong one. You guys, somebody should have stuck their hand up and said, Pastor, you're losing your mind. It does say feed. Well, there goes my whole theology. Wow. Let's go back one. He says, feed my lambs. And I think this is extremely important also. Now I'll change this on you. But the fact of it is that when it speaks of this as young in the faith is what I'm going to speak about, especially in their time. Peter was a great influence, and he was jumping in the boat and heading off to those other adventures because he didn't know what else to do. And what Jesus is saying, these people need you to be attentive to them. They're young. Even Paul will tell us later in his writings about, you know, when you are young in faith, you take milk. As you grow stronger, you can receive meat. And we need to understand that with individuals. That we also would have that same heart and that same understanding that we would desire for people to know the Lord and Savior Christ, Jesus Christ, so much better. And all the more that we would work with them, teach them, encourage them, give them the sustenance of his word. And so he says, take care of them. Feed them. Then he asks a second time, and this is kind of starting to irritate Simon because we know how it is, right? Peter's probably like, why is he asking me again? Because he is bringing restoration to an individual that is really struggling. I don't even know if Peter knows how much he's struggling. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in a relationship with another? Have you been there in a relationship with God where you haven't realized that, wow, this is a heavy burden? I'm struggling more than I ever thought. Halfway through this whole COVID thing, I really got to that point. I did. I didn't realize when it starts mounting up on the regulations and what to do and what not to do and who to shake hands with and who not to and what to do with masks and what not to do with this or who could you visit and who couldn't you visit. It was just like, and what could you say and what couldn't you say? It starts to like build pressure and you don't even really realize. And then all of a sudden, it's exposed. And it comes to you like, wow, I didn't realize this was weighing on me so heavy. And so now Peter is asked a second time. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, well, then tend to my sheep. Not only bring the young that nutrient, that word that they need, but also spend time, as we said, as I go back through that, vested into them. And then he says to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And now it says that Peter's grieved. He's irritated by this. How do you like it when people ask you the same question? I'll give you the classic example. Are you mad at me? No, I'm not mad. Are you sure you're not mad at me? No, I'm not mad. Are you mad? Okay, I'm getting mad. That's how we are when we get questioned over and over on something. But Jesus is really trying to draw something. He's trying to draw to Peter that his focus from this point on is changed. That Peter, your old life is gone. And your new life is in me, in the ministry. And your new life is in the provision that you, by the power of God, through the power of His Word, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will give to the world around. Peter, it's not about earthly sustenance. See, guys, what we talked about up here today is not about earthly sustenance. What we spoke about today is about those eternal matters, the eternal gift that God has given to us. And when we confess our faith, we are confessing our faith in that in spite of what the world may throw at us, in spite of what may be going on around us, in spite of everything else, God has a plan for each and every one of us. And that's hard for us to get sometimes. Even mom and dads, they sit there and they watch their young ones come up, and we've done this through the generations, and their prayer is, Lord, allow them to stay on this path. God's not done yet. He's not done yet. See, Peter is coming to a turning point here where now, after he receives of the Holy Spirit, he will be one of the most powerful individuals to proclaim the power of the kingdom of God to a world around him. And it doesn't mean that Peter is not going to mess up. We even find out later in Acts that really then Paul will have to get on Peter's case about kind of being a snob when he comes around the Gentiles versus the Jews. So it doesn't mean that we don't have our human tendencies. But what it means is God is not done. He's calling to us. He's questioning us. Do you love me? He says, Lord, you know everything. He was upset because third time he's asked, you know everything. You know that I love you. Even though it gets irritating, does the message change? It's not about Peter. See, and even Peter getting irritated, it's not about his attitude. That's what this shows to me. It's about what Christ says and what he's equipped us to do. See, the first time is kind of nice. Oh, you know I love you. Second time, okay, yes, I love you. Third time, well, what in the world? But it doesn't change the message. We're going to go through times in life where we're okay. We're going to go in through times in life where it's uncomfortable because, you know, and we're going to go through times in life where we're just irritated. But the message does not change. We are his children, ambassadors of his gospel, to enter into this world and not to bring a message of hell and damnation, but to bring a message of hope and salvation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we pay testimony to today. This is what we're encouraged about. That these young individuals have made a confirmation in their faith. And it doesn't mean that every day is going to be a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that you're still not going to get angry at your teenager or your teenager is not going to get angry at you. But what it does mean is God's word has impacted them and has been invested in them. And where it takes root and where it takes hold, only he knows. But the one thing that we do know is he won't give up. He won't give up. I have four children. I love every one of them equally. Three out of four don't darken these doors very often, and I love them just the same. Why do I say that? Because I may not know what you're going through, but I can understand. But the one thing that I'm assured of is my God is not done. That seed has been planted. My wife always makes a statement to me when I get frustrated and human because we go through those trials, right? Do you want them to come to church for you? Or do you want them to come to church for him? Heavenly Father, may they come for you. I don't care what building they go to. May they come for you. Peter, they need to hear. They need to know. It's not about your emotions. It's not about the way you make a living. Peter, take care of them. And Jesus will give him what he needs to do. And really then what he comes into then, he says, your life is not your own anymore, Peter. And that's what he's saying here. Yes, I understand that he says very plainly in here, he said these things to signify the death that he would have. what is being said here is Peter, you used to be able to do what you wanted. When you wanted to go fishing, you'd just go fishing. He says, you are mine. And you are for a purpose. And from now on, God will govern you. Heavenly Father, may you govern all of us. May we look to you for the strength, for the ability, and the fortitude to enter into a world that so desperately needs to hear the gospel. May we offer forgiveness through the power of your grace. May we live our lives for him. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.